Hello, everybody, and welcome to Keeping Current, an ERS and HVM podcast designed to plug you into the world of electrical power systems. I'm your host, Joe Dwyer, and whether you're an industry professional or simply fascinated by the advancement in engineering, this podcast is for you. Each episode, we bring you expert insights, real-world experiences, and the best practices you need to stay current in the field of electrical power. This October, we will be exploring a two-part series about the history behind OSHA and the real-life safety nightmares when there is a lack of compliance. This two-part series will take you into discovery into why compliance is your only defense against disaster. Joining us for part one of the discussion is Charlie Meeker, an ETI Conformity Services Senior Compliance Engineer with more than 50 years of experience in the field. Charlie and I will be exploring the evolution of safety and creation of OSHA, the risk of not adhering to OSHA standards, and sharing some invaluable tips on the best way to avoid accidents and manage the risk when it comes to working. So get ready to unplug and connect. And again, welcome to Keeping Current, Charlie. One of the things I noticed, Charlie, is OSHA was formed, I believe, in 1971, way back when. But some of the things that we talk about is when bad things happen. So can you give us some key points on your exposure to OSHA and how and some of the things that you've been exposed to as far as incidents and accidents, because that'll help our audience understand the gravity of why OSHA isn't so important.
Sure. Like you said, before OSHA was established in 1970, or 71, one of those 2 years, it depends on which search engine you're using to come up with that information. Workplace safety was, frankly, kind of a bit of a free-for-all. I saw on one of their, on some of my research, it had a list of the most types of accidents, and one of them was lockout, tagout, but the numbers that stuck out to me were that in the 1970-71 timeframe, 14,000 workplace deaths happened each year. And so just talking about deaths and then making a comparison of deaths. So today or last year, that had dropped to 5,475 from 14,000, which was a reduction of over 2.5 times. So I know that it took, I suppose, 23 years to get there, but I'm sure that it was similar for probably the last 10 years. That every year you're going to save effectively 8,525, over 8,500 lives. And if I was one of those lives, I'd be pretty, pretty grateful. If I, why do these accidents happen in the first place? Which comes around to deciding why is OSHA? Why do we even need an OSHA? Because people weren't really paying attention as closely as they needed to, and I think employers didn't realize the liability they had, or to actually protect their employees. Maybe they thought it was easier to replace them than it was to protect them, but that's kind of a dark way, which I don't really think that is necessarily the truth. Anyway, a lot of times people get experience and then they get overconfident and then they get complacent. Experienced workers, they might think they can handle any situation, so they cut corners or they just ignore potential dangers. And sometimes people just don't understand how serious the consequences of working unsafe under unsafe conditions can be.
That is so true.
Electricity, as I understand it, and as I've experienced it, it's invisible until all of a sudden you get shocked or you see a spark, and by that time it might be too late.
One of the things I noticed is you brought up complacency. And that is, from what I understand, one of the major factors in safety accidents. And what we need to do is, from my perspective, is constantly remind these workers that, hey, this can happen to you at any time, so we need to prepare. So what are some of, do you have any accidents that expose some of the needs for standardized safety? I mean, do you have any incidents that you could, possibly share?
There were things like that not necessarily all of them were, most of them were not necessarily electrical. They were things like ladder safety and getting into difficulty on a construction site. Like I remember when I first went on my first construction site, I was like, wait a minute. All these mechanical guys and plumbing guys and all these different things that were going on at the same time, and I was trying to do my job, and I've got these barriers and this warning tape and this danger tape, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with any of that, because it wasn't really, nobody had taught me anything yet, and I went like, okay, you gave me a hard hat, but I'm not really that comfortable with a lot of the things that can happen. And do happen, especially on in environments such as that.
Yeah, I could not agree more. One of the things that we always, enforce when I was in the field was you had to wear your hearing protection, you had to wear your hard hat, you had to wear the applicable PPE. And, it's just, I call it a culture of the cowboy approach, or, we've always done it this way, and you got to change the culture to get them to understand that, hey, there's a new sheriff in town, we're going to do it this way. So, one of the things I was hoping you can help us out with, Charlie, is why adhering to OSHA standards is just not a legal obligation, but more of a responsibility, if you would, for protecting workers and businesses. I mean, a lot of people say, ah, we don't need to do that, we can get past that, or they won't find that out. But why is it so important to do that?
Oh, well, because the individual is who we're trying to protect first, and then the business second.
Excellent point.
And I'm glad that OSHA came about. I'm not really a regulation guy. I like less regulations, but when it comes to my safety, I kind of like the fact that they're trying to look out for me and make the business responsible for teaching me and training me to be able to protect myself for whatever task I'm trying to perform. I like going home each day without being injured, and I like the same for my coworkers.
Yeah, one of the things that I think helps is procedures. And it can start as easy as doing a tailgate before you start your work on a shutdown, or having a meeting before we you start doing major construction. It just gets everybody on the same page. It gets people in the right frame of mind. It's almost like, okay, make sure you got, your meters are working, make sure you have your hard hat, making sure you're wearing your PPE. If safety grounds are needed, please make sure you use them. It's more like just reminding people. And, it was always good just to have somebody as an observer. And so whenever we did our shutdown, we would always just have an observer just walking around, making sure people are doing it right. Not as a stickler or anything like that, but if they saw something that wasn't right, they wouldn't just point it out. They'd go and get whatever was needed to help get it right. So we use it more as a learning experience as compared to just saying, hey, you're not doing this right. And that fostered camaraderie, teamwork, and the ability to say, hey, you might, I'm not doing this right, or I don't know. It fostered the ability to say that, and that was one of the things that we prided ourselves on. Yeah, so it's just teamwork, and having vetted procedures. I can't stress that enough. And it all stems from having an electrical safety program, and which identifies what is required, who's responsible, making sure that meters are calibrated, hot sticks are tested, making sure that we do our testing on our protective relays for a variety of reasons. One, to protect our equipment, but also to protect our workers. So,
Sure.
I have another good question for you that was given to me by somebody out there in the field. What are some common risks or misconceptions that a company may face when it comes to safety in the workplace? Like, what are some of the things that people would not think of or willing to risk? What have you seen?
Oh boy, I've seen too many things.
Yes, sir.
And I was in a situation once where I was in a training environment with live equipment in front of me, and the instructor was teaching me something, telling me what not to do. And while he was telling me what not to do, he ended up doing it and got himself shocked. In the process, seriously shocked. Like, apparently he thought that he was kind of immune to the risk. Well, he was trying to teach me what the risk was.
Oh no, he was wrong. He was wrong.
Yeah, that was just one example. And of course, we've talked about the complacency and all those kind of things, but there's also things that come into play like fatigue and how many hours we get to work
Ooh.
every day before we have to take a break and end up losing our concentration and then get ourselves in trouble because we get distracted.
Yeah, one of the things you brought up, long hours. We were working on a geothermal well, 5,000 volt, and we were there 20 something hours, and we missed a step, and yeah, somebody could have got significantly injured or killed. And that's where I finally went to my boss and I said, it's -5 degrees. This is in Reno, Lake Tahoe. I said, it's -5 degrees. It's snowing. We've been at this for over 24 hours. I think we should cut our losses and send everybody home to get some rest. And we did. So that was, so the things you bring up, are real. These things do occur. And most of the time it was for this specific incident was we had to get the pump going online to meet a contract deadline or something like that.
Right.
And so what are we doing? We're risking our personnel for a few bucks. And
And just to try.
that right there taught me so much about people and what the culture that you surround yourself with dictates whether you go home at the end of the day, like you said earlier.
Yes, for sure.
So,
And yeah, just trying to be on a race against the clock is not a good idea.
yeah.
And I don't know how much time we've got left, but OSHA provides this hierarchy of controls practices to try to for workplace safety. Are we going to be able to include any links in the show notes?
We will. I'm pretty sure we can. And so just send that information to me and we'll put it up in the podcast. Not a problem.
Right, but just to say what they are really quickly is like it's an upside down pyramid
Yep.
or triangle, and from top to bottom, it teaches you practices of how to work from the most safely to the least safely, or but you've got to do what you got to do to get the job done. But if you can do the any one of these five things is gonna you're gonna be in better stead than if you just kind of wing it.
I know exactly the pyramid, the upside down pyramid you're talking about, Charlie. And that's a
Yeah.
great one. And we will include that when we broadcast this podcast. So
Great.
excellent. Do you have any final thoughts, Charlie?
The other thing I didn't really talk about were the standards, the governing standards for what we have, and they're actually CFR or the Code of Federal Regulations, 1910, 331 through 335. And of course, any of these things can be Googled. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but could be found using your preferred search engine is what I probably.
Very good, Charlie. And you're right. OSHA 1910-331 through 335. And then when we're talking about, electrical safety and lockout tagout, that's 1910.147, the control of hazardous energy, which is extremely important when it comes to worker safety and including that in your procedures. That
Great.
was great, Charlie. Great ad right there. Appreciate that. Okay, this wraps up episode two of Keeping Current. I hope you found our discussion of evolution of OSHA standards insightful. Thank you to Charlie for sharing your expertise on these requirements, Charlie. Your experience and background is immeasurable and truly appreciate your time. If our audience enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And don't forget to tune in for part two of Compliance or Chaos: Real Life Safety Nightmares. In addition, you can also connect with us on LinkedIn to join the conversation and stay updated on the latest episodes. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, keep current.